Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We push the economy, and it's a working class people that help out, and that's a whole union.
Union members were on the move today in a march for better wages and working conditions. Good afternoon, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 17th, 2008. I'm Courtney Cabot. The National Football League could be one step closer to coming back to Los Angeles. Ryan McAllister has the latest.
Southern California developer Ed Roskey Jr. unveiled plans today to construct a state-of-the-art stadium to become the new home of a Los Angeles NFL team. The stadium will be built on 600 acres of land in the City of Industry at the junction of the 60 and 57 freeways. There are 12 million people who live within a 25-mile radius of the site.
This is going to be an unprecedented, state-of-the-art, environmentally friendly, 75,000-seat stadium with a world-class entertainment, retail, family, and tourist destination.
But one setback to the deal is the absence of an NFL team committed to relocating to Los Angeles. Roskey says the stadium will not begin construction until the team agrees to move in, but says this stadium could be the final piece needed to secure a franchise. And he says the facility would be built entirely by private funds.
You know, in California, you know, there's no public money. We have too many challenges out here to spend our public money on it.
Construction of the new facility could begin as early as the end of 2008, which would allow a team to begin playing there during the 2011 NFL season. Ryan McAllister, Annenberg Radio News.
The Operations Committee of the Metropolitan Transportation Agency declined today to make any formal recommendations to the Metro Board about the proposed cuts of 40 bus lines throughout L.A. County. The changes were outlined in January by the MTA Board of Directors, but after a series of heated public forums, only half of the cuts were approved by the council. The MTA Board of Directors will hear a report next Thursday about the potential impact of the proposed service changes. A new style of law and order may be coming to troubled Los Angeles schools. Caitlin Fenaro has the story.
Markham Middle School in South Los Angeles has the unfortunate distinction of being one of the most dangerous and troubled schools in the district. The school's neighborhood is rival territory for seven local gangs. L.A. City Attorney Rocky Delgadillo says putting a prosecutor on troubled school campuses will help curb violence and bring order to the school. A program to do just that is already being tested at Markham.
Our prosecutor went in and she listened to what everybody had to say, including the kids. And we probably got our most valuable information from our children. And they told us what we needed to do in that community. And we think we've started something. Do we think it's perfect? No. Do we think it can be improved? Yes. But we do believe it is a model or blueprint or a recipe for safer schools here in the city of Los Angeles.
Delgadillo says the program will spread to 16 area high schools and the middle and elementary schools that feed into them. Delgadillo presented the plan to the Los Angeles School Board today. He hopes to gain support to bring the program to all needy schools in the district. Caitlin Fenaro, Annenberg Radio News.
California lawmakers say an audit shows that sex offenders have a tendency to live in homes used for child daycare and foster care. Assemblymembers Anthony Adams from Hesperia and Fiona Ma from San Francisco originally asked for the audit. It revealed that more than 50,000 registered sex offenders have little supervision once they are no longer on parole. The Los Angeles City Council today offered a $75,000 reward for a double killing in South L.A. Clemens and Norman Strotter were killed in the early morning on March 3rd while they were standing on East 54th Street. Family members of the victims gathered at the scene of the shooting to ask the community to help solve the murders. A Phoenix-based solar power developer has received a $100 million investment to build two solar power plants in Southern California. Construction of the first plant in Imperial Valley is scheduled to begin in 2009. The second plant will be built in the Mojave Desert. The first phase of the building for both of the plants may cost up to $1 billion. A Los Angeles jury is still deliberating on the case of an older woman accused in a scheme to murder homeless men and collect life insurance. Today, prosecutors told the jury that Olga Rutterschmidt was considered a 50-50 partner in the scheme, along with Helen Golay. Yesterday, the jury convicted Golay of 2 counts of murder and 2 counts of conspiracy to commit murder for financial gain. Rutterschmidt was convicted of conspiring to murder one of the victims, but the jury has not yet decided on 2 murder counts against her. Looking at the weather, mostly sunny skies for this afternoon, continuing until tomorrow night with highs in the low 70s. The weekend will be a time for clouds and lower temperatures, highs in the low 60s on both days. This Saturday is Earth Day, and Los Angeles will celebrate with a festival. Wilshire Boulevard between Western and Harvard Streets will be closed off. The Wilshire Center Earth Day will feature a bike raffle, reusable grocery bag giveaways, and live music. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Pope Benedict XVI celebrated his first public mass in the United States today. We went out to hear what South Los Angeles believers think about his visit and the state in the country. Los Angeles workers came out to march, rally, and fight for good jobs today. Daryl Perinata reports.
Janitors, longshore workers, and port drivers were among the industries represented at today's march, which started in Torrance this morning. They came out to support the fight for good jobs in a year where more than 350,000 workers will renegotiate their union contracts. That is the largest number of workers negotiating in 1 year in the history of the LA labor movement. Ruth Martinez came out to march for the United Farm Workers.
Unionizing is the best thing. That's the thing that provides benefits for people and health aid, everything for the people, and gives them dignity, gives them respect. Through a union contract, we earn all that.
More than 90% of LA's workers whose contracts are up this year are service providers. Many who came out for today's rally live in LA, the low-wage capital of America, which has more working poor families than any city in the nation. A longshore worker who goes by the nickname Horseshoe Rob was among those supporting today's cause.
It's a labor rally that signifies all the unions coming together as one and staging an effect so that we can get the attentions of the employers that we need to be healthy for the long run. We need to have our future in the bank for what we're living for, what we're working for, good conditions, safer jobs, cleaner air. That's what we're fighting for, and this is what we're making a significant stand today. And it's my union pride that brings me out here.
Ellie Reyes is part of the 5,000-strong Utility Workers Union of America. She traveled from Santa Barbara to support her union.
When you have your members in good working conditions, with good wages, with good medical benefits, you are serving your family first, making sure your family comes first, and we can work safe out there without stress, without concern, because our families are being taken care of with better wages and better benefits, and that's why I'm here, because I want to keep it that way.
She hopes today's march and rally will strengthen the fight for better jobs.
Right now, this whole march is about organization with union. We're one. We might be different unions here, representing different corporations, different companies, different types of labor, but we're here as one, unity.
Their march continues in San Pedro, where thousands of workers are expected to gather at 6. Daryl Perinata, Annenberg Radio News.
Police Chief William Bratton said today the LAPD's policy on dealing with undocumented immigrants is often misunderstood and will be clarified in the coming weeks. The policy, called Special Order 40, says officers cannot approach individuals just to ask about their citizenship status. It was designed so illegal immigrants could cooperate with police without fearing deportation. The policy spawned controversy after the killing of high school football star Jamil Shaw, allegedly by an undocumented immigrant gang member. Bratton said that a misunderstanding of Special Order 40 is causing confusion even among police officers and hopes his clarification will end it. Earlier today, Annenberg Radio's Matt Mundy talked to USC religion professor Donald Miller about the impact of immigrant religious communities in the Southland.
What type of effect does the large Hispanic influence have on the Catholic Church in Los Angeles?
Given our significant Latino population, they clearly are swelling the ranks of Catholics compared to if there was not a large immigrant population. But it's also interesting that a number of Latinos are actually bringing with them from other countries not a Catholic identity or heritage, but a Pentecostal or Protestant identity.
Has the Catholic Church here done a good job at catering to the heavy Latino proportion?
Almost any Catholic church you go to, they'll have at least one mass that is in Spanish, and oftentimes multiple masses in Spanish. But depending upon who the congregants are, there may be two or three or four different languages. And so I think here in Los Angeles, the Archdiocese has actually done a fantastic job of accommodating itself to the immigrant population and the many different immigrant populations.
Do you think that that's going to be a major part of the Pope's mission here, I guess, is to look at this issue of immigration and how it's affecting the Catholic Church in the United States?
Well, I think the Pope has other problems he has to deal with. This particular Pope, Pope Benedict, I think softened his tone a bit. I don't know what he'll say about immigrants, and this may be an issue that he will address, because much of the vitality, actually, of the Catholic Church is because of immigrants. In areas where there are not large immigrant populations, actually, Catholic churches are closing right and left. And on the other hand, in areas where there are significant, particularly Latino populations, they are bursting at the seams.
Can you make a prediction? What do you see for the Catholic Church in Los Angeles?
Well, I think because of our immigrant population in L.A., we're going to continue to have a significant Catholic presence. Nationally, about a quarter of the population is Catholic. It may be higher than that here in L.A. But interestingly, in the Los Angeles diocese, I believe there are only about 200 churches. Now, many of these are very crowded and large, but in contrast, there are maybe upwards of 10,000 congregations of one sort or another. So in that sense, while Catholic churches are large, they're not necessarily that numerous, and they have a lot of competition. And so my suspicion is that the Catholic Church, in order to survive, is going to have to become more competitive. But I would expect that actually, if we look at the next 100 years, there are going to be significant changes in the Catholic Church, and particularly in a leading-edge city such as Los Angeles.
And do you see any of those changes happening under the current Pope?
No. I think under the current Pope, we're going to see sort of a steady state. He's actually tried to revive Catholicism in Europe and not had much success thus far. Currently, I don't see Pope Benedict having the charisma, certainly as a previous pope. He's relatively elderly, so it's not clear whether he will be in office for a considerable length of time. But I doubt that there are going to be significant changes under Pope Benedict.
Donald Miller is the executive director of USC's Center for Religion and Civil Culture and a professor of history. One of the main audiences of Pope Benedict's visit to the United States this week will be Latino Catholics. They're the fastest growing Catholic group in the country. They're expected to be a key group in shaping the direction of the church's future. David DeSola looks at the issues that matter to them and how they see their role in the church.
Nearly one-third of U.S. Catholics are Latinos. That's according to a recent survey by the Pew Hispanic Center. That number is expected to rise in the coming decades. But the numbers of Hispanics aren't necessarily reflected in the church's leadership in Los Angeles and across the country. Genoveva Hernandez worships at the St. Vincent Catholic Church near USC.
I think we need more Latino leadership in our churches.
But that's about to change. Father David Velasquez is the parish priest at the Santa Rosa de Lima Church in Maywood.
The number of Latino bishops in the United States is not proportional to the overall number of Catholics. But the interesting thing is that there has been a large increase in the number of bishops during the last 10 years.
Pope Benedict XVI has already recognized one U.S. Latino in one of his appointments. Father James Heff teaches religion at USC.
I think the fact that the Pope appointed as the first cardinal of Texas, that had never been, we've never had a cardinal in Texas, Daniel DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, archdiocese there, made him a cardinal, is a very clear indication of the kind of more reflective, ethnicity-wise leadership in the church.
Latino Catholics in South Los Angeles said they wanted to hear the Pope address a number of issues during his trip to the United States this week.
I want him to focus more on children and young adults so that they are more in line with the church and they're aware of the sins that they do.
I'd like him to do something for the people, for the Latinos who are already here.
I'd like him to pay attention to us more and to look toward America because we have many Catholics here and sometimes they leave the faith for lack of attention.
Father Thomas Rausch is a Jesuit priest who teaches theology at Loyola Marymount University.
I hope also that he has a chance to listen to the American bishops so that it's a two-way conversation and not just the Pope coming as chief pastor to teach.
The ultimate sign of Latino influence on the Catholic Church would be if one of them gets elected Pope in the future. Father David Velasquez hopes that will be the case.
We are going to pray to God with all our heart that one day we will have a Latino Pope. The day we have a Latino Pope will truly be a revolution for the faith throughout the world.
Pope Benedict is visiting Washington, D.C. and New York City during his first trip to the United States. He will address the United Nations and visit Ground Zero later this week. David DeSola, Annenberg Radio News.
UCLA's Kevin Love is going to the NBA. The freshman announced today that he will go directly to the NBA draft without finishing his time in college. Love led the Bruins in scoring with 17.5 points per game and in rebounds. NBA team scouts are predicting the freshman is likely to be picked in the top 10 players in the June 26th draft. Olga Rutterschmidt, the woman accused of murder of a homeless man, was found guilty by a Los Angeles court on one count of murder. The jury remains deadlocked on two other counts of murder and conspiracy. And now we check in with Jessica Janner to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, Jessica. How are you today?
Hi, good. Thanks. Hi, Courtney. Thanks. Well, LAX has a new full-body scan. Some say it's invasive, but others say it's a good security measure.
Yeah, it's for a good reason. It's not pornography. It's for security, so what the heck?
We'll have that story. Plus, food prices are going up. The country is facing the highest inflation rate in 17 years. Why going to the grocery store is costing you more bucks. Make sure to watch Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision or anytime on the web at atvn.org.
Thanks, Jessica. Keep on clicking on AnnenbergRadio.org, where you can hear an in-depth interview with John Laslett, Professor Emeritus of History at UCLA, about the history of labor unions in Los Angeles. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Jean-Luc Renaud, Caitlin Finero, and Brian Sika. Chiara Conzi, our producer. Matt Mundy is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Courtney Cabot.